Derby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at StirringDirtRacing.com.
Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel, and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good evening, good afternoon, welcome to this edition of the Crash Course. It was a bumpy flight getting off the ground tonight. I don't know what was going on. Is this working out?
We're good right now.
Good.
Chris Marquardt's on it. We're good.
Yeah, it wasn't smooth. Tim Miner already checking in on the live chat. We've got, there's a lot of stuff happening this weekend. And busy. Enjoy it while you can, because it's all over.
Unfortunately, it's starting to look that way.
It's not looking good for Ohio. I did send a text message to Tim Clark over the weekend. That wasn't the right button. What am I doing? This is rough. All right. I sent a text message to Tim Clark asking for additional follow-up based off of Governor DeWine's injunction about grandstand events. At the same time, I also see, I believe it was Kyle Larson won another event at Eldora Speedway.
No, they were in Knoxville.
They were in Knoxville. Okay. So that...
Iowa.
My conspiracy theory there.
Iowa, Ohio, you're close.
Four letters and vowels. I guess it counts for something, right?
You're good.
Scott Kiefer made it in on time. Jeffy Schumann made it in on time. Awesome. It's a shame Jeffy couldn't make it up into Canada for the Derby at the Dog Pound. We're going to be getting into that. We're going to be getting into the upcoming Derby that they're going to be doing in October. We have a little bit of it's not news. It's not news from the Spinning Wheels camp. You had some conversations with Jeremy over the weekend. So there's that. We are going to actually take the trip to Iowa, not for Knoxville. Talk a little bit about some of the stuff that Jacob Prusman was up to. We've got the King of Butler County that happened over the weekend. Some updates from the Unified Point Series with Evansville and Urban Destruction. Domination was in action. A bunch of those Midwest shows got a ton of rain, and it certainly put the challenges to getting those shows in. But in Canada, it looked like it was just about perfect. I don't know. Did you check in on any of the live streams that were going on? Ron Crawford was.
We Saturday. This was my weekend off, so Zach and I put a full day in Saturday working
on
the
Cadillac. Let's qualify that weekend off thing, because it's your weekend off.
But
now that you've turned in all of the time that you were this is your weekend off before you get 63 days off in a row or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't think it's not going to be quite 63. It's going to be around 60, I think.
poor thing.
I'm thinking somewhere November 5th or something will be my last day to work this year. But, hey, I get a weekend every 7 weeks up until that point. So, no, Zach and I worked on the Cadillac a bunch this weekend. Got it running, moving, driving. Got the bumper on it. I can't wait to hit somebody with that Smith Pedal Works bumper. That thing looks so cool. But I didn't see any Facebook Live. I did see a couple of the winners, and they were pretty shocking or not. We've seen a couple of those guys win a bunch.
Rick Clark, what?
Yeah, that was Andy won without steering, which I think he should just start the Derby without steering and let it go from there. But I'm pretty sure Reg won or was a top. In the top two or three, another big surprise there. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. Unfortunately, we were busy, and then there's some live baseball going on, so I sat and watched some baseball to see how far Aaron Judge could hit a baseball, and it's pretty darn far for the Yankees.
Yeah, and now it's going back the other way. Straight until morning, though. No quitters here. Blackhawks won over the weekend.
Nice.
It's not often that we talk about exciting hockey happening in August, but
they said that one of the games they dropped gloves like 2 minutes in just to show that they were ready to go. I can't watch all the intricacies, but I love the checks and I love the fights, so that's right up my alley.
And I'm not really sure what the fights are for when there's no fans. Like I get the whole
probably
spirit
to get your
of
team
hockey
going.
And team, yeah. I don't know. As long as it's not being pre-scripted.
There you go. No WWE involved.
No, none of that stuff happening. Christy and Devin joining us on the hotline to talk a little bit about it. We alluded to a couple of our winners there as we set it up. But you guys, how did it go? It sounded like 98% of the people that were involved with the Derby at the Dog Pound at Humberstone went away happy.
I think it went very well, especially because it's our very first time promoting ever. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different putting on a hat as a promoter as opposed to putting on a hat as a derby driver, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it's definitely different having to be the one to enforce rules instead of being the one to break rules.
Sure. So the question that's been plaguing me all day is, how much shorter is your Facebook friend list today?
It's actually exploded.
Yeah. Well, that's good,
yeah,
right?
It was kind of like the day that Devin won his very first Mad Dog at Bash. Both of our Facebooks have like blown up, and like we've added so many people because it's like nonstop. Where are the rules for October? Where are the rules? Can we do this? Can we do that? What classes? And it's like, holy, can we just get through today and tomorrow, and we'll get this stuff out ASAP.
I had people actually come up to me halfway through the show, trying to hand me cash to hold their spot for the October show already. I'm like, I still got like four more heats to call. Can we talk later?
That's awesome.
So when you unlocked the gates at Humberstone, what were your feelings?
Oh my gosh, I was nervous. I barely slept the night before. I'm just trying to think of like from how many times we've gone to so many different competitions all over Canada and the U.S. You try to think of all these things that could go wrong, and you're trying to think of ways to head off those issues. And we had some really big name guys come in that run all over Canada and the U.S. And it was nerve-wracking to see what they were going to bring and how it was going to be and how everything was going to play out. And I think I was nervous.
I was definitely nervous. Like dealing with some of the caliber of drivers we have, whether they were 5 minutes down the road or 5 hours away, like just being, well, essentially in charge of everything when normally you're the one looking up to those guys, like it's really weird.
Sure. So how do you get past that? How do you tell big name drivers no?
You have to not look at the name and look at the car, and not look at the name and look at, just not to bring up any negativity and all that sort of stuff, but look at Rick Clark's hit and the truck heat. You know, you're not looking at it as Rick Clark. You're looking at it as what the driver did and who the driver, you know, what happened in the ring. And you're looking at it objectively and fairly. And regardless of whether it's Rick Clark or whether it's a first-time driver that's never been on the track before, you're going to rule the same way. And as long as we do it that way, it is what it is, right? You're going to make sure it's the fairest call is made with the information we have at the hand at the time.
And Tech goes the exact same way. Like if, say, Dustin Ingram rolls through Tech, I'm teching his car just as fair as I'm going to tech anybody, like somebody I've met for the first time. Like I have to tech them all just the exact same. So you have to separate all that.
Yeah, I it's weird when the tables get changed like that. We've seen a lot. We've seen a lot of guys, you know, when they have their first derbies, and it's great to hear things went so smooth for you guys. I'm always nervous for people when they go out and take a step like this, because we all know how much people love to bitch and complain. And in all honesty, I haven't seen a lot of that. So that's great. So I'm happy you guys had a successful show.
A lot of respect and cooperation from everybody in the tech line on the track. It was great sportsmanship. It was awesome.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering. I mean, you guys got to be a little nervous about having a show in October. I mean, it is Canada. You could have snow by then. I mean, are we wondering how we're going to, you know, keep...
Fall Brawl usually is snowing, yes.
It's either pouring rain or snowing. So we'll hope for... We'll go for sun and nice day instead of pouring rain or snow.
There you go.
So, Christy, you were about to say something there.
I was just going to say it's just... like Devin said, with the respect and stuff like that from the drivers, we tried to give as much respect and had conversations with drivers. There was a couple drivers that came from, like Devin said, whether they're 5 minutes down the road, because we had some that were, and whether they came like 6 hours away. We didn't want to see anyone go away unhappy with something that happened through tech, and we actually tried to really work with some drivers that needed some modifications and some cutting and stuff like that, and we offered them some solutions to be able to be within the rules but also modify their car so that it could fit within the rules and instead of going away and loading. So it was a kind of give and take, and I think that it went really well. There were some rules that we definitely got beat on, because it's the first time for us, and we're not
builders. Are going to build.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's their job to build. So there's some clarification that we're going to definitely have to put in place for October, but we have to thank some of those guys that came through Tech, and they actually, they fair and square beat us. And
that's what's going to make our rules better. If they beat us once, then we have to try and make it so they can't beat us again.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, if, you know, the more shows you have, the more people are going to work on rules. And that's the thing. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you guys have been all over. You've been in inspection lines all over. I mean, you know that, you know, it doesn't matter who the promoter is. There's always somebody that's nitpicking a rule and sort of gets one over. So, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, for as little as, you know, negative as I've heard, I mean, you guys have definitely done a great job and off to a great start.
Thank you very much for that. And, you know, I also think that it was a great partnership with the track. It's so different when you're so used to running standalone shows or fairs and that sort of thing. But to be able to partner with our two local racetracks has been a huge thing. Both Humberstone and Merrittville have welcomed us in and have sat down and made concessions. And they're used to a whole different clientele. They're used to a whole different type of racing. And all of a sudden, they have all these derby redneck guys and scientists and engineers and people that are like, doing things to build cars the way that these guys don't see very often. And I think when we had like Dave Bittner at Humberstone, who contacted us and asked us if we could do this, and we're like, sure, we'll give her a shot. And I think he was like amazed at the caliber of cars that were there, and he said that they were like comparative to some of the cars that they get out there on, you know, sprint nights and stuff like that, that like as far as cost goes and stuff. I think he was very shocked at that.
And some of the minor things, like even just the little things, have blown him away. Like the first car to roll through Tech with skidders on, he's like, what are those? Like, why are those needed on a derby car?
Yeah,
that's funny.
And we always get a little bit of that shell shock when you go to a racetrack and you bring a high caliber build set, mm-hmm. and some of these high profile drivers from even just on a local circuit here that hit the county fairs and don't venture out of town a whole lot, but would still go someplace like Metal Destruction or Cuca Clash, or they go out to Dunkirk and stuff like that. They're expecting what they get when they get to their county fair. You know, maybe dozen, 25 cars total, a bunch of gutted out, rusted out Luminas, maybe four or five V8s, and they're all box 80s Fords, and they run into each other and they call it good, and they expect the fights and the chaos and stuff. And then you present to them this completely different package that they haven't seen before, with building expertise and the science and the geometries that go into it, and the expensive engines and all these parts and pieces that's just completely foreign, and it jars the reality for what these racetrack promoters are accustomed to. They're not used to seeing professionals in the demolition derby world. They're used to, as you said, that redneck thing. And that's one of the things that so many drivers and promoters and us included have tried to help share and get the word out that that's not necessarily the norm when you get up on these higher tier shows. And I think you're going to benefit from some of that experience and some of the footage and pictures and stuff that you've been able to take away from this show here and share that ahead with the folks at Merrittville so that they're a little bit more ready. And I think you're going to be able to change the climate for Demolition Derby once things do get back to normal in terms of the Speedway Derbies.
We're actually trying to change the Ontario Derby world, like overall, just trying to bring things that we see in all the shows that we run. Like, we wanted to, like, in our driver's meeting, we allowed the drivers to decide if they want to back into the wall and go nose out. That doesn't happen up here. And we told the drivers in the driver's meeting that once it's green flag, it's go. Like, that doesn't happen here. We always have to idle back, touch bumpers, shake hands, and then it's go. So all these things, like, the drivers were pumped for that just because they'd never got to do that before, because a lot, like, let's say, like, maybe 20% of our drivers have traveled a good distance to drive an American show, right? They've never experienced any of these things that we brought to them. So they were super pumped with that.
Even just some of the little things in our rules, like being able to cut your frame, that sort of thing. And you know, a lot of the shows up here, you're not allowed to modify stuff like that. Maybe cut the crush boxes off, that sort of thing, but you can't shorten your frame right back to the sub. And I think a lot of them were afraid at first to make these kind of cuts and do these sorts of things. And I think that We got a lot of positive feedback about our rules because we basically took everything that Devin loves to do as a builder, but made it competitive for those guys that don't have the tools to be able to do that. We still made it competitive for them, and I think that it was a good cross-section for a lot of drivers.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, going forward, you know, hopefully this leads to you guys, you know, putting on a show or two in the coming years, you know, at Hubbardstown and Merrittville. And it's great that the promoters reached out to you guys. It's just, you know, it's unfortunate that in this area, I mean, once in a while, I know last year, maybe the last couple of years, the Ellisons have put on some derbies at Canandaigua. But it just, you know, unfortunately, we just, if most areas, most dirt tracks that we know of in this area, you know, Paradise excluded because they, you know, Ellisons put on the end of the year show, but, you know, the nose is still turned up and they're just, you know, they're just rednecks wrecking rusty cars and they don't realize, you know, the caliber of builds, the caliber of drivers, the, you know, the amount of money, bottom line, that, you know, they could make as a promoter having these at their tracks. But, you know, it's great. Hopefully that stuff, you know, it sticks for you guys and you can, you know, you can continue doing it. It's always good to hear, you know, good things about, you know, drivers being happy and you know, things turning out well. It's awesome.
What'd you guys talk about on the drive home from Hubbardstown?
Oh my God, so many things, because it was like your mind's going a mile a minute, but at the same time you're exhausted. So it was kind of like, it was a little bit of a quiet drive home. Our phones were blowing up. I just kind of turned them all off until the next day because we had some people that were not happy about a couple things. But then the positive stuff started rolling in, and it was nice to see. We had a couple people message us saying, hey, take the positive and run with it. There's a couple things you guys know you need to work on, and that's it. Like the red flag situation. When you're a guest at someone's home kind of thing, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to bring in different things. Like we don't have, this is our first time. We don't have sirens and lights and flashing stuff to be able to do that. We have just air horns and whistles and red flags. And as much as it's the drivers need to pay attention, it's also we need to make sure we get their attention. So right. It's things like that, you know, Reg and Devin and I have talked about going forward for Merrittville is trying to ensure that we have the driver's attention. We don't want to see anyone get hurt. Sure. So things like that. The track crew at Hubbardstown was amazing. Pulling GNR Environmental, pulling everything off of the track and getting it off and cleared quickly was just phenomenal. Like we had 127 cars go through in what, 5 hours?
5 hours of solid derbying. There was maybe 5 to 10 minutes in between heats. That was it.
Wow, that's terrific.
The cars were pulled off to the side with the skid loaders, and there was tow trucks and push trucks taking them back to their haulers. So as soon as there was maybe 2 cars left on the track, we had Glenn Hills running through the pits to line up the next heat, and there was little to no downtime at all.
That's great. Now, when you guys got home, did you have a cold, frosty beverage or two to relax, or, you know?
Well, we had about 10 or 12, but then we got very tired very fast because we were dehydrated and completely exhausted.
I bet. Was it real warm up there for you guys?
Bonfire and everything, it just didn't happen.
Was it warm up there? It was pretty warm down here Saturday.
Yeah, it was pretty hot. It was it rained for a couple minutes, and I think actually I'm gonna just tell you guys this because I thought it was hilarious. I was up in the tower and I was announcing, which I've never technically done, so it was a little bit of a shock to me to be up there the whole day. I thought I was just gonna do like, you know, people coming in, but on the radio the track guys kept saying, okay guys, we got weather coming in. Do you guys want to put this off till tomorrow? Blah blah blah, all this stuff. And we're
should
just
we take like a rain delay. I'm like, unless I see cows and tractors flying through the sky. If half of heat three goes missing because they're flown away, then we can stop. Other than that, we don't stop.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. I remember years ago, it was actually the second derby that I ever ran. It was at the racetrack. It's where the Ontario County Fair is now, Canandaigua Speedway, and the races had rained out. And they're like, all right, everything's rained out. We're not going to run. And we're all like, oh, my God, we're not going to get. And they're like, all right, we changed our mind. We're going to have the demo. And it was so much fun because that track, I mean, anybody that knows how slippery real clay gets when it gets wet. And I think I just had – I didn't know if I had snow tires on the back of my car, but that wet clay was just such a ball. I did find out that if you went up on the infield grass, you could get some bite and then down off at a higher rate of speed. So, but it was, yeah, it's, you know, and again, that's, you know, promote the people that run the track don't understand that stuff doesn't bother us. We just keep going. So,
yeah, Exactly. It was like they kept saying on the radio, we kept hearing them, okay, there's rain coming, guys, there's rain. We've got to either push this off or, and we're like, no, we're good. We're going to run through the rain, which we did. It rained for maybe about 10 minutes, but it was
halfway through the mini concert.
It wasn't a big rain, but we have to actually give kudos to the track. They actually did a really good job on making sure that track was sticky and it was fast.
It was very fast because everybody who's driven on clay knows it's impossible to find that sweet spot. It's either way too hard and too dusty, or it's like trying to have a derby on a hockey rink. Like, you can't, it's real hard to find that sweet spot.
Go Blackhawks.
So we actually watered the track on Friday afternoon, and we didn't add any more water until like three heats in on Saturday.
Yep.
Like, water just sits on top of clay. It doesn't really sink in.
Yeah, it's if you like, we've definitely ran on some bitey clay tracks, and there's Morris, the new surface on Morris is bitey, and the once or twice when my carburetor didn't puke on me last year, I got some pretty good bite and got some pretty good speed. But yeah, if you get clay right, it is a fast track. So
yeah, we had like a small dust problem with the V8 heat in the trucks, but other than that, like, it was very fast, but like not too fast to be dangerous. It was the perfect spot.
Did you have to coach?
Yeah, never wanted to jump in a car.
Did you have to coach?
The drivers turned it up, and it was my kind of pace. It sucked big time being on the wall, not in a car.
That's funny.
Did you have to do any coaching to get the tow off crews accustomed to how to drag the cars off the right way so it didn't rip bumpers off or hurt them in any way?
Actually, on Friday night, we met with the tow-off crew, and we had sat down with them and had said to them, hey, guys, these guys have a lot of different parts in different areas that are very expensive. So when you approach them on the track, can you ask them where they want to be towed off from? Ask them if they want to be lifted, if they want to be pushed, if they want front, back, that sort of thing. And I said, if the driver's telling you, don't do that, it's not them being rude. It's
because
just
they have a lot of money, they don't want their parts wrecked.
And they were awesome about it. They said, perfect. So I didn't hear one driver complain about the tow-off crew. So I'm going to assume that they did an amazing job towing off and listening to what the drivers wanted, because I didn't see any complaints about that at all. But they were really good in making sure that you know, they listened to the drivers and pushed them off or pulled them off from wherever it was that they requested.
They were fast. They were efficient. They were on the ball. Like, if we had a scenario, like, say the blocks got rolled over, like, they would sneak in out of the way and flip them back up for us in the middle of the heat, no downtime. They were awesome.
That's great.
We also had a little VIP tent set up on the side of the track for our sponsors and stuff that were sponsoring Mad Dogs and throwing cash. So whether it was like a $50 cash prize or whether it was a $750 cash prize, those Mad Dog sponsors could come down and sit trackside and have a great view and help pick for, you know, the Mad Dogs of the heat that they're sponsoring and stuff like that. So it was nice. And we had Brian General, and I'm not sure if you guys know who Brian is, but he is a very well-respected member of our community up here. And he actually picked the majority of the Mad Dogs throughout the day, with the exception of a couple people, but he was in kind of concert with them to pick, and he just brought hard-earned cash out of his pocket and handed over cash over fist to people that he felt deserved a little pick-me-up for driving hard and driving fast. So
that's great.
It was wonderful to have him kind of track side. We had like coolers set up for them and a little table set up so they could sit, and yeah, it was cool. We had amazing Mad Dog trophies donated by Jeffy's Fab Farm. We had an awesome trophy that was donated for the compacts from Southern Ink. Jesse Schultz and his dad made that one. We had sliders that were donated by Joey Hellbend. We had amazing support from so many people in the U.S. and in Canada. We had, you know, even Frankie Guy sending us like money and Broadhead Deckel sending us money saying, put this towards whatever you want and stuff. And it just like TJ McCullough reaching out from Deadman saying, you guys are going to have a great show, like giving us a pep talk the night before. So we're still like, rest.
Yeah, like 2:00 in the morning, I couldn't sleep because mine's going wild. So I was laying there just talking to TJ all night.
That's
so
cool.
The support was amazing, and hearing the different types of people reaching out to us and wishing us well and wanting to see us succeed was just phenomenal. So thank you to all of our sponsors. Like, we had sponsors, like, you know, from all over Canada and the U.S., and we didn't ask anyone. They all volunteered and sent it, and it was great to see that outpouring of support. So,
and all the promoters with all the constant pep talk, it's just great to hear other promoters encouraging like a new promoter to, like, just, I don't know, like they're encouraging their competition. Mm-hmm. But I don't see us being like a full-time promoter. I like driving too much.
Don't worry about it. Jeremy promotes all the time, and, you know, he still runs 6-8 derbies a year, so you're good. I wouldn't even worry about it.
Yeah, but Devin runs like 16 to 20 derbies a year. We don't have time to promote and have him do that, and I don't think he wants to cut back.
So. I think if we did one or two shows, well, two or three shows a year, that's more than enough.
That's cool. I think we should. I think you and I should sneak across the border and go watch the next one.
Getting across the border is not the problem.
I tried
getting
to
back.
Get Chris to come. Yeah, right, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I need you here to announce. Come up here, please. Come up. You're one of my sponsors. You, Chris sponsored a Mad Dog, a winner for the compact heat for roof sign, and I'm like, come on, Chris, come up and just announce. And then I ended up having to do it, and then I got all these compliments from people that I never expected to get compliments from, saying how amazing they thought I did on announcing. And I was just like, yeah, I learned it all from Chris. Chris taught me that.
You didn't need me.
There's got to be places like where you can just sneak across the border, then sneak back across the border afterwards.
We got to get on one of the cigarette boats going across Ontario.
You don't even need cigarette boats.
Swim, right?
It's the airboats that they that they take across.
I told Christy.
Niagara River, you got it right.
I told Christy.
We'll pick you up in our backyard.
There you go.
All good. All great plans. The problem is, at some point, I need to get back here.
Listen, this is what we'll do. We'll go up. We'll go to
American Citizen. They'll let you back.
We'll go to Merrittville, okay? That's relatively close to Niagara Falls, okay? After it's over, we'll go over the falls in a barrel.
No.
And then they'll pull us ashore on the American side, and we'll run like hell.
Nope.
You and I, listen, we will do crash course in a barrel going over the falls.
No.
People want to imitate? Come with us. Let's go.
No.
Think about it. We could live stream from inside a barrel. 188-foot drop would be amazing.
We did crash course.
There you go.
In a barrel at Winterslam.
We've already
done this.
But not at a 188-foot drop.
Oh, it was far more. No.
It'd be great.
But we do have a lot of really good feedback from quite a few different people that we totally respect, and they did give us some critical, you know, criticism, and we're going to take that, and we're going to go and make a show better when we meet with Reg and when we meet with Tom Beals at Merrittville, and we're going to, it's looking like, can we let the cat out of the bag? It's looking like a two-day show?
Yep.
Whoa.
Nothing like jumping in, right?
Yeah.
Might as well go blow feet.
Our first show, we do 127 cars registered. Our second show is probably going to be a two-day show. So, yeah, I think we're a little crazy, but it's going to be fun. And we have an amazing partner in Reg and Tom Beals with the track. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be awesome. So.
And fingers crossed that the borders are open, because we'd love to have some Americans come up and join the show.
That would be cool.
Do you have your enhanced yet?
I've had it for years.
Yeah, I've got my enhanced, too.
Nice.
I got mine.
We'll take a trailer up and haul my suicide home. It's been in Canada for three or four years.
Keep in mind, you come to Merrittville, it's another 4 hours past that.
I would think that Ronnie would be at Merrittville. I mean, I don't think he's going to miss a derby in Canada.
Well, he was at Humberstone, so I imagine he'll be at Merrittville as well.
There you go.
How'd he do?
Oh, sorry.
He ran the junk run, the minivan. Mm. He got about halfway through, and I think it was an electrical issue that took him out.
Yeah. Have you got a list of your division winners?
Yeah, Chrissy's got that for you.
I do. So for our compacts, I'm not going to do the heat, but for the compact feature, it was Mitchell Mason and Nolan Johnson. Reg Bonneau finished third, and Nick Campbell was our Mad Dog. Mm-hmm. For our V6 heat, first place was Josh Claus, second place Dan Shearer, third place was RJ Flip, and Mad Dog was Craig Jamison. Our junk run, first place was Mike McGrain. He ran a couple different, he ran compacts as well. Second was Jason Jackson, and Mad Dog was Kent Taylor, who is a figure eight guy.
Yeah, he's a figure eight driver.
That was the very first time he ever ran something other than a figure eight, and it was kind of
the first time I've seen him. I'm not sure, he's probably ran derby car before, but he showed up with a Ranger, and he was just long bombing people. It was great.
Yeah. I think everyone liked the junk run too, because I think they were hesitant at first, and then once they saw some of that stuff, I think they were like, hey, this is cool. And then we got messages, you guys have a junk run in October, right? So I think we'll probably have to put that in there. Mm-hmm. Sucks first was Rick Clark. He drove amazing. He drove without a steering, and he was using his brakes for all of his steering, so he drove very well. Second was Tim Ouellet, and Mad Dog was Mike Pavel. V8, first place, is Bobby F. and Cousineau. Dustin Ingram, third place was Tristan Young, and Tristan also took home the Mad Dog. And we also had Pat Crooks in there for the most junked. I don't know if you guys saw that picture of his car, but my God.
It was a stock, like, Pontiac Prigian, like, 80s. And he was going against some well-built cars. And he was going, like, full-out nose-to-nose with, like, Tristan Young in, like, an 09 Vic. Like, very good build. He was hitting with water pump. He didn't care.
Yeah, that car was tore up. I did see that.
Yeah, and then Bobby Cousineau won the overall Mad Dog of the day. And, man, he put on a clinic in that V8 heat. It was phenomenal to see him just laying down track shot after track shot after track shot. So
he had concrete boots on his right foot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was doing like, some of those hits, you could feel them. You just cringe when you see them. So he won the overall Mad Dog of the day. So
that was sponsored by Corey Beal, by the way.
Yeah, nice. So Corey Beal from Black Flag. So it was an amazing show. We were very, very grateful for all of the drivers. Very grateful for the track. Very grateful for everyone that helped pitch in. All of our crew couldn't have done it without them. They were, like, phenomenal. They stepped in, and it was kind of nice because I'm, like, a little, like, OCD and a bit of a controlling bitch sometimes. So it was nice that I didn't have to do any of that. They all stepped in and did it, and I could walk away, and it was nice to know that they had it under control, and I didn't have to worry about it.
Excellent. I get to run my first Black Flag artwork this weekend.
Really?
Yep. On Friday, the rules and everything came out, and I'm getting some team colors from Corey for the car that's going on the track that looks like Las Vegas with the RDP
awesome.
Derby group. So I thought that was – I'm really excited about that. I can't wait
to see Ford Wagon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ford Wagon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Chris, you got to get on a real derby car on the track. And,
no, I did that. I got that out of my system. I did that. I did that
no,
one time.
Not technically. You're a passenger, not a driver.
Could it go worse?
It could go way better.
It could go way better.
I don't think it could.
I
appreciate your enthusiasm, but I had to sell a car because I didn't have the space to put rear springs and shocks in it at my house, so there's no way that I'm going to be able to build a car. I don't have Decker money to rent a car.
Decker gets cars given to him. What are you talking about?
And the other thing is, I don't think I want to do it. I've done it. I got it out of my system. It would be a ton of fun. But the doctors who told me that my back is a mess and I've had 11 concussions continue to advise against it.
True.
What do they know? They're only professionals.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
I listen to him. Call me crazy.
Did you guys get a chance to see the Mad Dog trophies that Jeffy made for us?
I saw pictures of a bunch of stuff being handed out, but I don't remember if I seem to remember the plasma cut ones, right?
Yeah.
Those ones you're talking about?
Some pretty sweet plasma cut Mad Dog trophies, and they were like, everyone was like going crazy over them. They were like, I want that. I'm taking it home. And then for our regular ones, everyone had the Happy Gilmore checks, but we decided the track suggested, instead of handing out trophies to sit on a shelf, flip the Happy Gilmore check sideways and do a great, like, a banner kind of thing. So that's what we handed out as trophies at the track, and I think the drivers loved it.
Yeah, it's like a billboard. Like, I handed Reg his. He's like, this is going right on the wall. I don't have anything like this. This is awesome.
Right.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, they look very good.
We have a few.
Reg was just in the live chat talking about it. They're Scott Kiefer was talking about getting lights, and the easiest thing to do is get old lights off of fire trucks or stuff like that, and just mount them around the perimeter. They can run off a car battery and just tie them all into one switch. Yep. So they all come in at one time. I still think one of the coolest outdoor derby add-ons in terms of trying to get the field stop was the modified fire extinguishers that you could charge on an air compressor with a big horn on the top. So
yes.
You open it up and
yeah.
It would make the noise that way.
You mean you don't like how Waterloo does it with, you know, 3-inch water hoses to drivers' heads? You don't think that's a good idea?
I've never been a fan of that.
Just checking.
Never liked that.
It works.
Oh, it does.
It's
almost led to assault charges.
Yeah, it has the wrong effect.
Oh, goodness.
So wait, and yeah, and the Razorbacks are really good. They're not used to that type of situation. So we did have one little minor situation where they saw a fire, like a Goss fire coming out of a header, and they sprayed that, and we had to remind them that that's not a fire.
Don't ever do that again.
But they were amazing. They were phenomenal. They came in, they helped, they, you know, were right there when you needed them, and they were great, like phenomenal. So I think that little bit of that learning curve of seeing kind of a derby as opposed to race cars, we couldn't say enough good things about them. They were really great to us.
That's awesome. I do love the fire crews when they have 35 firefighters attacking just raw fuel burning off in the stack. Yeah. It's like,
and I've mentioned, it's always funny how, you know, we've been blessed to go to the biggest derbies in the country, and there's usually, you know, fire extinguishers. Yeah, there's a rescue truck and fire extinguishers placed around the track, and never have anything major go on. It's weird how that happens.
But. And then you go to the county fairs.
Yeah, we actually didn't. We only had, two fires the whole day.
Yeah, they're minor.
Very minor.
Nothing big.
Yeah, really minor. So,
is that counting the raw fuel burn off one?
No,
we don't count that one.
We don't count that one.
That's funny. Well, that's awesome. So, most of these changes and these sections of advice that were shared with you from other promoters and other drivers and stuff, those are things that are going to at least attempt to be put in place for Merrittville in October?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, we actually spent the evening with Reg going over a whole bunch of stuff tonight. We're going to get the rules altered, not rewritten.
Clarified.
Yep.
And then we'll get it all posted hopefully this week and have everything open up. We're going to just meet with Tom and go through the classes. We think we have everything kind of situated. Reg is happy with his idea of what he wants to do, and we're happy with what we want to do. And once we talk to Tom, I'm sure he'll be happy with the whole thing. So it'll be good. It's a good compromise.
Nice.
Well, Reg was going over stuff. Did he have his customary tumbler with ice and whiskey in it, or...?
I'm going to say he probably was, because I know he was at the sociable having some dinner. So he probably was having a drink. He was out with I saw he had one of his hot rods out.
Cool.
Taking a little ride in one of his old cars.
Nice Sunday cruise for lunch.
Nice.
Nice to do that once in a while.
I had somebody over the weekend. They asked me what should be a direct question, and I wrote a lot.
What was that? I didn't hear you, Chris.
It looked like Facebook just went down. I want to make sure that we didn't lose that. And make sure that we get that back up and running. There it goes. Okay. So I think we're okay there.
Square.
Yeah. Tim Miner, he's in the chat. He wants to run derbies. He lives in Texas. He wants to go up here and run a derby, but he's going to need a big helmet. Take it for what it's worth. And I wrote this way overstated message, and they said, why is everything that you write back, this should be simple yes or no, why is everything you write back a novel? And it's like, because, one, we're doing it through a computer. You have no idea what my facial expressions are, what's a joke, what's not a joke. And if I over-explain it and make it overly clear and get overly specific and you don't read all of it, it's your fault.
That's on you.
It's your fault that you didn't understand or whatever. And so I love that word, clarifying rules. Just keep making them more specific, and you'll be in a good place. Drivers are going to hate it, and then they're going to say, well, I didn't read it, whatever, but that's their problem, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had some of that where it's like, well, I didn't know I could do that. Well, I was in the rule sheet. You could have read that. But I just want to call somebody out that's making me clarify rules is Daniel LeBlanc pushed literally every possible gray area he could find and then just lately made his own gray areas. So he's the one that's making the compact rule sheet a little longer.
How did he do?
Daniel LeBlanc, we're going to, like, you know, we're not going to tell them your secrets and stuff, but we're going to kind of, you know, fry you a little bit here. He had to actually go back. We did a pre-feature inspection. We had a couple of our tech guys in the pits, and they were kind of watching everything, and they had to approve where plates were and stuff like that. And they did a pre-feature inspection. And
after they were lined up on the track.
And Daniel, you know, was asked to go back and make a few modifications. So.
But respectfully, he never argued a single thing. Everything that we told him to cut, we gave him our reasons why, and he never argued any of it. So, thank you for that.
Sure.
The camera god had to cut.
Well, that's great. It's great to hear. I'm glad everything went well. So at this point, when are registrations going to open? Is it going to happen online again?
Yeah, it's going to be all online through the track. They have a registration program through online registrations, and we're hoping to have it up by the weekend.
Well, we'll say mid-next week just to play it safe.
All right.
I have to work full-time, so it's going to take me a little bit to modify everything still.
Well, give it your full attention when you can, and less is more. Take your time.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for having us on. We really appreciate it. We'll let you get to your other guests. I know they have a lot of stuff going on. So thank you both, Chris and Brian.
Yes,
absolutely,
ma'am.
I got the groundwork laid out for the roof sign for, I want to say Bryson, but I don't think that's his name.
Oh, I'm trying to remember who it was that won that one.
Heat 4.
It was, Heat 4. That was...
Brody
Howick.
Yep, Brody.
Brody.
Yep.
He is pumped about getting that sign from you, so good. Thank you so much.
You bet. Happy to help. Let me know what else we can do when we get to Merrittville.
Awesome. Thank you both so much. We really appreciate all the support you guys give us.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
Nice job.
Okay, bye, guys.
Well done, guys. We'll see you. There goes Devin and Christy. Getting ready for Merrittville coming up here soon. I didn't know how long that was going to go because there was a bunch of stuff that I wanted to ask them and some stuff that we didn't even get to, but it's already getting late in the show. But I'm sure we'll follow up with them here before too awful long. One thing I want to tell you about, Nicollet County Fair is this weekend, so Minnesota's going to be back in action. It's full throttle. That's another two-day show, August 7th and 8th. Friday, the two-car team, 4,000 to win. Stock trucks, 800. Compact and midsize, 600 to win. Minivans, 400 to win. Powder Puffs paying $1,000, youth division paying $800. Saturday, the two truck team, 4,000 to win, weld cars are $1,500. 80s chain, 800, stock trucks, 800, pickups and SUVs, 400 to win, compacts and midsize, 600, and the ladies division again paying $1,000 on the second day as well. What way do we want to do this? Let's do this. Let's run through this stuff first, and then we will get into the rest of what we got lined up for today. Smith Metal Works. Brian was talking about the front bumpers a little bit earlier. Online, you can find Smith Metalworks, smithmetalworks.info. Experience passion second to none. Smith Metalworks is an all-purpose fabrication shop that has taken the Northeast by storm. Smith Metalworks features more than 40 years of combined metalworking experience. The hallmark of the product line is the pointed and flat front bumpers, replicating popular factory releases. You'll know it when you see it. They can be stuffed or ran hollow. They're... There's also a compact version of the pointed bumper. Other items include the Crown Vic door skins, battery boxes, engine mounting systems, pedal combos, and shifters. The shop offers all the odds and ends, such as distributor clamps, weld-in centers. Be sure to ask about the GM floor liners. In-person locations are available for pickup in Mercer, Uniontown, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Jeff Schumann, he is hanging out in the live chat right now.
Should he be welding?
My faith is that he turned in for the first few minutes, then turned on the welder.
Back to welding.
Phone was on, you know. He's got the may have the AirPods in. Jeffy's Fab Form is recognized as an industry leader in all manner of fabrication needs. Jeffy's Fab Form is a national go-to for a number of demolition derby parts. They specialize in the LS conversion components, but earn major derby cred with their various header offerings as well. Jeffy's Fab Form just released a solid four-cylinder Camry engine mount on Hyundai Elantra 1.8 and 2.0 liter headers. This car offers bumper-to-bumper selection, including fuel and air parts, suspension and transmission items, steering components, pedal shifters, switches, and gauges. If you need it, it's on the farm, jeffysfabfarm.com. Both of those big supporters of the 2020 Crash Course Nationals as well. Iron City Promotions, another partner with that. Talking about the Keystone Nationals, September the 19th at Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. Smith Metalworks still hosting the driving classes. That's if you awesome. Ever want to learn how to drive Demolition Derby, you can check them out. It's mostly geared for kids, or they're willing to take chalked IDs. So if you're 40 and want to learn how to drive a derby, it's worth a shot. You can probably pass for a 14-year-old Brian. 10,000 win super stocks, 1,500 win stock compact, 700 win youth class. Pit gates at 9, general admission at 2, derby at 6. All the division winners get a championship belt, and the youth winner will also get a derby-ready car.
How crazy is that?
After they learn how to drive it, you hand them a big piece. Car. Here you go. Why not, right? Iron City awesome. Promos online, ironcitypromos.com for that one. Smash It Demolition Derbies. I'm not going to run their spot this week. Because I didn't get a message back from Tim. I don't know if they're going to be able to have any more derbies in Ohio at this point or not. It's jump online, smashitderby.com. I checked the website I don't want to put out wrong information. We do it every week. I know that. We get the messages to prove it. But right now it looks like maybe Butler County was the last one that's going to happen in Ohio. Everybody's waiting with bated breath to see what happens. Winter adult class is starting. Casey, please. TJ McCulloch, winter adult class is starting to learn how to drive. TJ doesn't need to learn how to drive. He just needs to learn how to slow down.
That right foot that gets heavy. I know the feeling.
If you could unhook three of the cables on his V8, it would help him out a lot. The old rolling wheels trick, you know, help you roll the corners?
Mm-hmm.
Run with six cylinders fire. Blizzard Bash at this point is still on. There was Candace was sharing some messages this weekend about that one. The Sormont Vale Event Center, Topeka, Kansas. November the 11th is heat draws. 7 to 10 o'clock is the plan there for the pit party. November the 12th is the opening rounds of qualifying for both the national and qualifying brackets. Round 2 scheduled for the 13th of November, then the Twin Bill on November 14th. Compact and Limited Weld team heats in the morning, and then all the B features, trucks, Limited Weld, one and done. In the evening, the Championship Sunday card is going to have all the Team A mains online, blizzardbash.com for that one. Again, Governor DeWine shutting things down in Ohio. So we're waiting to see what that happens, and also waiting to see kind of what happens a little bit closer to home, too. With Spinning Wheels, they were having some conversations about what's next and what's going to happen right now. Mini Meltdown still on for this month. It's about 20 days away at this point. Unified Point Series, they had some action over the weekend. They had two shows, Urban Destruction out there in Evansville, Indiana with Wicked Derbies, and they also had Butler County, which counted on the series up next for them August 15th. Hardcore Destruction on the Knob in Mark Leesburg on August 15th. The 22nd is the Everton Fire Department hosted fundraiser in Connersville, Indiana. Then we move into September, looking at Labor Day already. Hardcore's Labor Day Lockdown in Mark Leesburg, then Getting Junked Huntington County Fair in Roanoke, Indiana on the 21st. September 19th, I wonder if that September 21st date's wrong. September the 19th is the Keystone Nationals in Brookville, Pennsylvania, hosted by Iron City Promotions.
Yeah, it's September 19th is Keystone Nationals.
And then September the 26th is Hardcore's Final Countdown in Dunbar, Pennsylvania. John Shipley coming away. You see that his point total has once again gone up by 10. Now 6-for-6 on the year.
It's not a bad way to start the year.
John Shipley, 60 points. Don Santel coming away with a win over there at Urban Destruction with 42 points, tied for third. Nick King and Jeremy Riley, 34 points each. So you said you had talked to Jeremy?
I didn't get a chance to talk with Jeremy. There was conversation. I believe it was on the Spinning Wheels page. And somebody just asked if they were still having it, and they said yes. As of then, you know, today, whatever, they were still having it there. But like we talked before we went on air, the executive order from the governor has been extended, I believe.
There's two executive orders, and yes, it looks like both of them have been extended.
So, hopefully, they can get something figured out. I know last week. I saw it after we went off air. Brett had to cancel the Coos show.
Just want to bring everybody's attention to this September the 12th. Getting Junked Huntington County Fair is on the 12th of September, just so everybody knows that.
Brett had to cancel the Hemlock show in September. Pretty, you know, he was not happy about it, obviously, but, you know, something he had to do. You know, hopefully we can get stuff straightened around and we can be wrecking cars here in a few weeks.
We shall see. So we were wrecking cars out there at Sports Park Raceway in Fort Dodge, Iowa. This is Jacob Prusman's 448 Promotions event, the 80s Old Iron Stock Mix. Kenny Gaines ended up winning that one. Jake Hawk and Colin Lang running through that one in the top three. Jeff Beam, Eric Esser running through the top five. Jake Hawk ended up getting the Mad Dog Award in that one. Tyler Michael Twos. Winning in the modified class. He's from Kaysen, Minnesota. John Lockhart, Brandon Kies, Mike Gaines, and Chase Langford. A lot of familiar names on that one. Coming home through the top five in the modified division. Kyle Eaton taking Mad Dog there. Rob Baker from Winterset got the win in the limited well division. Mike Gaines, Ben Claren, Jeremiah Howell, and Cody Lockhart running through the top five in the limited well side. Cody Pete winning Mad Dog. Jake Flater from Stewart, Iowa, taking the win in the compact side of things. 24 cars signed in for that one. Adam Abel, Tyler Wagner, Jake Burette, and Dave Mays running in the top four, and then Dave Brody Mays winning the Mad Dog Award trailer race. The number was Target on Kyle Timm's entry. He got first place. Dylan Summers, Jim Roberts were running through the top three. Craziest SOB was Chris Glenn. In addition to the Derby and trailer race participants, they had 13 kids in the Power Wheel. So at this point, the 448 Promotions points 3 out of 5 shows in the book. Mike Gaines out in front with a commanding lead, 344 points over Brandon Kais with 296. Mike Sharn singing a tie for third with 230, and Dan Wells with 230 as well. Eric Essary, 63 points there. Compact side of things, Jake Flater, 430 points, and he's got a pretty solid advantage over Lance Studlicek with 340. Jake Burette with 310, Jordan Burette 210, Tyler Wagner 110. There's a multi-way tie for 6th, multi-way tie for 8th, multi-way tie for 10th on that side of things. Domination Motorsports running in Bowling Green. The rain was a factor. That was a sloppy mess, but nonetheless, they got the whole show in. They're going to be on their way to Cherokee, Iowa on August the 15th. Trey Hewer won the Street Stock Weld class.
Hard to believe.
Ash Howland, I think that was Ash Howland, got the win in the hobo side of things. Limited Weld was Alan Brown. Tony Brellinger winning Weld Compacts. Marissa Zur in the front-wheel drive hobo class. Danielle Rowan winning in the ladies' feature. And as we talked about a moment ago a little bit with the busy weekend for the Unified Point Series, Butler was, like we said, probably the last fair derby in Ohio this year with the restrictions being put on all events happening in front of grandstands. Candace Joe, mud. Alex Vasco right there for us, September the 12th. He had the correction on it. We ran that. We put that back up.
Sort of. Did you see he got hurt at a derby this weekend?
Alex did?
Yeah. Filming in a piece of metal, I assume metal, something hard came up and hit him and sounded pretty serious. He sliced his face. I think it got into his mouth.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, he got stitched up. Said he was feeling better. So
Alex, man, you got to message us back. Let us know how you're doing. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's...
I saw he had a picture of him at the ER. Said everything had been. He didn't.
Oh no! I just don't want to see it.
Oh, you looked funny. I was like, what? What did I do wrong? No, it was after everything was stitched up. He looked good again. Kind of like when they put the stuff back and you couldn't see your shin bones anymore.
He said he's pretty dang sore. Well, I hope it didn't hit him and mess up his face too bad. That's a pretty looking guy to get a chunk of steel stuck in his mug. That's not good.
Okay.
No. Why'd it get weird? What?
Yeah.
I hope he's all right. That's good. He said he's pretty sore. He's got a hole in the wrong place in his mouth.
So. Interesting way to look at it, huh, Chris?
Bet you can make money with that. Butler was probably the last derby. Nick Whitley coming away. Ohio full-size driver. He took his second pro stock win and moved into 7th place in the points out there. Nick doesn't have any interest in chasing the point, but he did get a hold of Mark Elliott about this weekend. So about the shows that are coming up. So let's see what happens. John Shipley pulled off another win. It's his biggest one yet. 170 cars entered 5 heats, no consolation, 1 feature, and John got it done. So
wow.
That was a pretty good run. It came down to him and 4th place driver Jeremy Riley of Kentucky, just like it did back in Marion, Indiana. You know, John ended up putting it down 6 for 6 there. Both drivers said they're interested in going to Pennsylvania on the 15th. Second place finish was Riley into a tie for 3rd, as we said, with Nick Kling. The only results that we have so far is Don Santel winning at Urban Destruction. I didn't see anything. I checked a little bit before the show, but I haven't seen anything. So if anybody has more they want to get out there, you got 7 minutes. Don Santel traveled to Urban Destruction, got the win there. 2-hour Mudfest.
Not a real big surprise that Don won.
I mean,
he's pretty good.
We keep getting the jiu-jitsu references for Don. He's in the 2nd place now in the points. He's 18 points behind John Shipley. Pennsylvania has an opportunity to shrink that lead down to 2nd place. Going into Indiana on the 22nd, because we don't think that John's going to be going.
How cool would it be if Don Santel came to Keystone Nationals?
It'd be cool. It would be cool. I mean, I love watching him drive.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Some programming notes there for the Unified Point Series. The wax molds have been completed for the championship rings. So next, the metallurgy part of it is going to be the process where they basically make them, clean them up, cast them. Losing 8-8 is one thing. They do look forward to moving into the banquet preparation, or however that's going to happen with all of the attendance restrictions in place.
So I think everybody should just stand outside of their house, and everybody can Zoom and drink beer and celebrate together.
I'm fine with that. I don't hate that plan at all. Man, Alex getting tagged in the mug. That sucks.
Yeah. Yep.
That sucks. Do you remember when I got hit in the eye with a rock at Waterloo?
No.
On the stage?
Nope. I don't. I was the year that Steve Travis won the state fair. I was on the pit road watching the Derby, and I got hit in the eye with mud, and I was instantly blind, couldn't see a thing. And I'm like, oh my God. And like we talked earlier, clay is not just normal mud. It was, no. So I'm like, well, it's not bleeding. So that's a good thing. And I'm not in a lot of pain, but I still can't see. It took a while to get it washed out. Once I got it washed out, I could see, but it was pretty scary for a minute.
I wore contact lenses.
Wow.
Hit in the eye with a rock, and all that stone dust and stuff came with it. Man, that filming stuff's not for the faint of heart. We almost had a...
Who won that night?
It was Wednesday night. I think it was when Jake was in the middle of his run.
Cool.
I thought for sure that you were there for it, because you always used to hang out in the back doorway. They said, no drivers allowed on the stage. And you said, I'm not on the stage, I'm in the doorway.
And then I just walked out of the stage. It's probably why people don't like me there.
John Heilman in the Hardcore Derby Promotions Paint Masters Plus number H15 won the compacts over at Urban Destruction. So Frankie Guy's listening.
Cool. Yeah, I did see that. I did see that one of Frankie's inspectors won his class. Frankie and his wife went and watched. They posted some pics on the way and some pics where they were there. So very cool. Great weekend at Derby, man. There was a lot of stuff going on.
I hope we covered everything.
Unfortunately, it's getting farther away from home than coming closer.
It is. Hopefully we covered everything. I feel so bad for Candace and everybody that had those derbies, and you know they made the best of what they had. Candace made multiple posts, and you know she was very much applauding the staff and very much applauding the drivers. And you know Jacob sort of in the same spot, Urban Destruction same spot. You know they did the best of what they had. And
years ago we went to a show. It was a Dent show. That's how long ago it was. We were at Lebanon Valley. I don't know if you've ever been at Lebanon Valley, but
is there like, one time
like off the back stretch? There's kind of a hill / mountain, and you could see the rain coming, and it rained so much there was legit probably 2.5-3 feet of water on the infield of the track, and they ran down, and it was Aaron Bunce and Wayne Clemens battling, and they were still getting after it pretty good. But that was the wettest Derby I'd ever been to. I mean, we've been at Waterloo where it's rained. Usually it's accompanied by thunder and lightning and tornado warnings. Yes. So we all take cover. But sorry, Josh Bill. But that at the Valley was the wettest Derby I'd ever been to.
Oh man, I remember we had to cancel a live feed in Dunkirk when microburst came through.
Yeah,
and just destroyed everything. It was.
Yeah. I don't know why you had trouble with your equipment. I mean, it's only been dropped from airplanes at 38,000 feet.
It was mostly the new stuff.
And, you know, it was, you know, the rain it's been through and the dirt, the dust, and yep. Oh, the fun we've had.
Yes, sir. That's right. Well, I'm glad that Alex is doing better. He says it's the first time he's ever had to abandon his post and not finish taping. Yeah. For better or worse, he held his face together and drove himself to the hospital, and he hopes it's a one-time thing.
Yeah, that's a little insane. When there's a chunk of metal sticking out of your face, I mean, I'm pretty, you know, stubborn, but I'd probably take some help on that one. Yep. But
Christy remembers that Dunkirk show. We put up a holding sign just saying, we don't know what's going to happen. I said, it's raining like crazy here, and we can't do anything with your equipment.
I think I remember that. I think you and I were texting at the time back and forth.
Then we got thrown out of the grandstands, yeah. And we couldn't stay to protect the stuff, and then we got the green light to come back. Oh, my gosh, what a mess. What a mess. Well, glad everyone's okay. We'll have more information for everybody on the derbies that happen as they come next week. We'll be right back here on Monday. This was the – we now have 9 days of summer school left. And
I think my wife's done Thursday.
I start college on the 31st.
Chris Marquardt, yep. Student professional.
Yeah, student of the month, I hope.
How many months?
It'll be 18.
Are you going right through the summer? Or are you?
Yeah, it's part of the program. You have to go through the summer.
Nice. Yep. And then you're going to be a professional again.
Yes, another one. It's the highest degree that I've achieved. It will be a master's.
Well, I mean, you haven't been awarded one here, but let's be honest, you're a master of this.
I don't know.
Probably closer to doctorate.
I don't know how many hours do you have to log to get a master's.
I'm pretty sure you're over that.
It's 10,000, right? You have to have.
I'm pretty sure you're over that.
Yeah, probably. I know we have at least 318 hours in.
At least. That's not counting the live shows where we're on for 20 hours straight.
Right, yeah. Yep, for sure.
Done that too.
All right. Looking things over. Looks like we're in pretty good shape. We got
it
covered.
Stick a fork in it.
Yep. That's it for this one. 318's in the books. We appreciate everybody tuning in.
318, good motor.
I know, right? I can't wait till we get to 340.
Yeah. I got one of those in my dad's garage.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Just sitting there waiting.
We had a gentleman over at our neighbor's house, and he happened to peek over the fence, and he saw this old thing in the backyard. So he came over and started nosing around, and he goes, "So, like, do you like cars?" I'm like, I like particular cars. And I showed him a little bit of the stuff in the garage, and he goes, "So why don't you do anything with any of this stuff?" Because I don't have the tools. I'm up to now ordering 3 left-hand screwdrivers off eBay, and all of them came right-handed.
Hate it when that happens.
And he didn't understand that was a joke. he just looked at me with pity, and I told him I got a 440 into the bench up there. He goes, "What are you going to do with that?" I'm like, "Whatever I decide to."
Let it sit there and look cool.
I want to make it into a coffee table, but Melissa doesn't agree.
You know, sometimes they're hard to convince. Look, it's better to ask for forgiveness and permission.
That's not always true.
We could get a couple guys carry that sound gun in there and set it right in your living room.
I don't think. See, that's one of those things that it's not going to be easier to get forgiveness on that.
Me and two other guys have carried a 454 the length of a trailer. To put in a modified, so I think we could get that 440 in your house.
There was a time when I was able to pick up a 727 by myself, but I think those days are gone.
I can still do that pretty easily.
The transmission's underneath the bench. It will go to the back of that motor. I got the flex plate somewhere.
Sweet. So let's take the motor out of the Journey and drop that son of a gun in there. Bigger scream.
I don't think so. I think we're good. I think we're going to leave that Journey just how it is. At least until Finger Lakes decides that I own it. All right, that's it. We'll see everybody next time.
The Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.